Here's a quote from a recent article. Following Politico's report of a leaked draft opinion in the U.S. Supreme Court case of Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, indicating that a majority of justices seem inclined to overturn the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion nationwide, multiple churches and pro-life advocacy organizations have been burned, looted, and vandalized by pro-abortion extremists. So writes Ryan Foley, Christian Post reporter, and in fact, we're linking to his article. The article is called this, List, Churches, Pro-Life Offices Torched, Vandalized by Abortion Activists Since Supreme Court Leak. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Ryan Foley joins us now. Thank you, Ryan, for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Sure, and I understand that you are constantly updating this story. So, in effect, this story is becoming kind of like an umbrella story whereby people can just constantly look at the latest information on this crazy development, very violent in some cases.
Yes, this document will include all examples of pro-abortion vandalism against churches and pro-life pregnancy centers from right after the decision, the draft opinion was leaked on May 2nd to the day the decision came down, which was June 24th. And I am actually starting to compile a new document highlighting all the examples of vandalism that have taken place since the Dobbs decision. And that one is still pretty small at this point, but I feel like it's going to keep expanding.
So far, nobody's been killed, I hope. I mean, other than the babies killed in abortion. I mean, in other words, no protester has killed a nun or something like that. I mean, I just want to, you know, clarify that, get it out on the table.
Yes, most of, like, the buildings that have been vandalized have been empty. A lot of this happens at night, so people aren't there. But still, there's been a lot of property damage, and some of these organizations have had to close because they can't operate with broken windows and smoke damage.
You know, what's so amazing, too, is, for example, these crisis pregnancy centers, they are providing loving Christian alternatives to those who are in, you know, in a crisis pregnancy situation. And I know some of the people that I've met personally that were, they received help from these organizations, and they're so grateful to God that they kept their baby, that they worked through all this, and these loving Christian people were providing this alternative. And now these buildings are being destroyed, thus stopping the work, at least in that particular community?
Well, from the perspective of the people who are vandalizing them, either with graffiti or, in some cases, Molotov cocktails, they are fake clinics because apparently the only thing real clinics do is provide abortions. So because they don't provide abortions, they're fake clinics. That's been one of the most common lines of attack that's been painted on these buildings, fake clinic, along with other sayings such as, if abortions aren't safe, you aren't safe either.
Tell me about Jane's Revenge.
Jane's Revenge took credit for the vandalism at Wisconsin Family Action in Madison, Wisconsin on May 8th, and they threw a Molotov cocktail through the window, and then a journalist who works for a publication based in the Netherlands shared an email he received from them vowing to engage in further vandalism and demanding that all pro-life organizations disband in the next 30 days. This was issued second week of May, so 30 days from that would be basically the second week of June. They issued a new communique saying that because they failed to, meaning the pro-life organizations failed to meet their demands, that it was now open season on the pro-life organizations and that the attacks would get even worse. At least that was the implication.
And the Jane there is Jane Roe, as in Roe v. Wade. And the irony, of course, is that Norma McCorvey, who was the original Jane Roe in Roe v. Wade, she, you know, was released, her identity was released in 1987, and she became pro-life around 1995. So, and she became pro-life and stayed pro-life until she died. In fact, Father Frank Pavone, a guest we've had on this program on a few times, of Priests for Life, you know, was a close friend of hers and even baptized her. And so it's so ironic that they're doing all this violence, pro-abortion stuff in the name of somebody that ended up becoming pro-life from, you know, a pro-abortion background.
Well, the same thing kind of applies to the group Ruth Sentis, which I have also written about. They named themselves after Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and they seem to, they're the ones who have been trying to get people protesting outside the homes of the Supreme Court justices who signed on to the majority opinion, as well as Chief Justice John Roberts, who concurred saying the Mississippi law should be upheld, but he didn't agree with the opinion that Roe should be thrown out entirely. But if you remember, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was friends with Justice Scalia, who is no longer on the court. He's also deceased, but she also expressed a desire that the Supreme Court hearings would go back to the way they were when she was confirmed, which she got like over 95% of the senators to support her. So she seemed to be an advocate for civility, even though she was a staunch advocate for abortion during her time on the court. And the group Ruth Sentis apparently doesn't seem to realize that.
A comment on that civility point. You know, the I would think that Brett Kavanaugh, when he signed up to become, you know, a nominee, he was nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm sure he didn't expect that one day he might even have to leave his home and his family, too, to seek safety for a legal opinion he was writing for the court.
Well, he was one of the justices who signed on to the majority opinion in Dobbs, and 2 weeks ago, or in the middle of June, someone was arrested outside of his house trying to assassinate him, but his sister apparently talked him out of it, so that's an example of pro-abortion violence that's taken place since the Dobbs draft was leaked.
It seems like we've lost all decency in this, and so it's just really a terrible trend. I mean, I hope this is not the future that we're looking at. I mean, for example, if you look through the years, the Supreme Court has made, you know, some controversial decisions, but it's hard to remember one like this where people are actually out in the streets, you know, doing violence or, you know, destroying organizations and so forth because they don't like their politics.
Well, it's going to continue for the foreseeable future, it looks like. Like Jane's Revenge promised a night of rage following the Dobbs decision, and over the weekend in major cities there was protests, some of which turned violent if the Arizona State Capitol was breached the night after the Dobbs decision was released. And Oregon had some businesses vandalized as well, Portland, Oregon. And then the three recent examples of vandalism that take place since the Dobbs decision came down were a pro-life pregnancy center in Lynchburg, Virginia. And then there's also a church in Reston, Virginia, which is closer to the D.C. area, and a pro-life pregnancy center in Colorado.
Wow. Okay, what happened in Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, that was Compass Care, which has multiple locations, but their Buffalo, New York office was firebombed. And last I checked, they were looking to set up a temporary space where they could keep operating while they repaired their facility because they can't use it because it's been so badly damaged.
I understand something happened in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes, that would be a pro-life pregnancy center in Asheville, North Carolina, that was vandalized, Mountain Area Pregnancy Services, and there was graffiti reading, "If abortions aren't safe, neither are you," along with a symbol for the anarchist movement, and then red spray paint splattered all over the front door and windows of the building. I guess that's designed to signify blood, and other places that have been vandalized have had the same thing happen to them.
You know, it's interesting that the phrase pro-choice is really deceptive because they're really only pushing one choice. And if you only have one choice, then the word choice, pro-choice, becomes really an oxymoron because the one choice they want is abortion. And so here are these Christian groups, or in some cases maybe just humanitarian, not necessarily religiously based, but most of them are Christian. And they're providing these loving alternatives. And they're being, destroyed and vandalized and so forth by the forces of so-called pro-choice. And again, there's only one choice involved here. You must choose abortion or we're going to, you know, bomb you out of existence. I mean, it's astounding what's happening. Do you think the American people have an understanding, Ryan, of what's going on out there? I guess that boils down to what sources of media they listen to. You know, are they reading Christian Post or are they only listening to CNN?
I mean, there are Americans who listen to CNN and there are Americans who read the Christian Post. There may be some overlaps, but I'm not entirely sure. While polling shows that a majority of Americans at least wanted Roe to be upheld, the support for abortion gets much, much lower later into pregnancy. So what a lot of the people who are doing the acts of vandalism want is abortion up until the moment of birth for any reason. And I'm sure polling shows that the majority of Americans are not in favor of the acts of vandalism that have taken place over the past several weeks.
But I think it boils down to how many of them even know about that. I understand there were some vandalism cases in the state of Michigan.
Yes. Michigan was one of the very first places to experience vandalism. St. Joseph's Priory, a Catholic church there, was vandalized at the beginning of May. It didn't explicitly include a reference to abortion, but there was graffiti reading the word gay on it, and then other expletives. And then a pregnancy care center in the Detroit area, too, in fact, were vandalized more recently, the third week of June, and Jane's Revenge took credit for those acts of vandalism.
How about Minnesota?
Minnesota has also experienced pro-abortion vandalism. The group Minnesota Citizens Concerned for a Life announced on its Twitter account that its office in Minneapolis had been vandalized for the second time in recent weeks, and the phrase abortion is liberation was spray painted across the front door, and the front window of the facility was broken.
Okay, all told, since May 2 and including through the present, so in other words, post the Dobbs decision, how many churches have been attacked? How many pro-life facilities have been, you know, vandalized or attacked, or in some cases even out-and-out destroyed? Just sort of give us a big picture. It sounds like we're talking about dozens of attacks.
Yes, we are. It's up to nearly three dozen now.
Oh, man.
Both churches and pro-life pregnancy centers and other pro-life advocacy groups like Concerned Women for America. It's not really a pregnancy center. It's a pro-life organization in Alexandria, Virginia. So they are included on the list as well.
What happened to them? I've interviewed Penny Nance, the president of Concerned Women for America. What happened?
Well, video surveillance footage shows a man urinating on the exterior doors of the facility. And that was pretty soon after the leaked opinion was released, I'd say about 5 days after the Politico published the leaked opinion in Dobbs.
So from one leak to another. What about the justices' homes? When can the justices return to their homes? How does that work? I mean, that to me is the most nefarious of all these attacks, you know, in one sense, because it's basically saying mob rule. You must vote our way, and if you don't, we're going to intimidate you and force you to do otherwise. 45 seconds to go.
Well, the pro-abortion groups have been protesting outside the justices' homes. They've been doing it 5 days a week, and they've been doubling up in some cases because the justices have their homes scattered throughout Maryland and Virginia. They've been holding protests on a weekly basis since the second week of May. I'm guessing they will continue for the foreseeable future. I haven't really been studying up on how often or how much they've been at home, but I know that the term is almost over, because they issued some more decisions, and they will probably definitely have security. I know Brett Kavanaugh had security outside his house on the day that the assassination attempt went down.
Oh, my God, help the United States of America. Ryan, thank you so much for being with us. Ryan Foley, Christian Post reporter, and again, we'll post to his report, and he keeps it updated on a regular basis, these attacks against pro-life efforts and pro-life offices, etc. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you for having me.